And then the political scene and the things that are going on and the different attitude toward Israel. And I'll just tell you, when I see our own government walking away from Israel, that ought to strike fear in every one of our hearts. The only hope America has is that she's a friend to God's people. Oh, hallelujah. And I tell you what, it shows us that how quickly it can all wrap up and things could come to a screeching halt. I tell you, we don't have time to play church. No, I said we don't have time to play church. All right, let's read the Word of God today. And I'll try. I know that the everlasting gospel doesn't have to last everlasting to be everlasting. Hallelujah. So I'll try to preach in a brief, concise way as I possibly can. All right. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, very familiar verse. The Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Luke chapter 16, verse number 19. The Bible tells us, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." God bless you. You can be seated this afternoon. If the Lord would help me for a few minutes, and I trust that he will, I'd like to preach on eternity's homecoming. Eternity's homecoming. As we look at the two texts that I've read and you're hearing today, There are two things that stand out, and that is that they are both very sobering passages of Scripture and also very significant. For in both of these texts that I've read to you, we see that life is not forever. Amen. We know that life is really only a journey from birth till death. And if the Lord should tarry his coming, there's not one of us here today that will be able to escape death. Every one of us will face it one day. It is inevitable. But not only from both of these texts that I've read to you do I recognize that life is not forever, I also recognize that life is not final. Death is not the end to it all. There really is life after death. Oh, that's exactly right. Amen. Death is not the end. It's only the door that opens into eternity. And God has given every person an allotted amount of time, that's called life, amen, to prepare for that appointment that we all are racing toward. Amen. That's what makes this service so important today. Amen. Is that all of us are here today. And we're not just here, hopefully, and listen, I failed to mention this, but I'm going to tell you, it was a wonderful Southern Illinois meal that we just ate for you that got here. I'm sorry if you didn't. God bless you. Amen. Amen. And I told him, I said, not only was it a good Southern Illinois meal, it was a lot of good Southern Illinois desserts. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hopefully you didn't just come for the meal. And hopefully you didn't just come to be seen, but hopefully you recognize that this service we're in right now does have eternal benefits, hopefully, for you. Right. It will affect us eternally. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, amen. I want you to realize that today. And it's evident from the text that I've read in the book of Luke, from the words of Jesus, that there are really only two options concerning eternity. Hey, amen. Concerning eternity's homecoming. We see that there is a heaven to gain, But there is also a hell to shun. For a few moments, I'd like to direct our attention to Lazarus and see that hell has a homecoming. Do you realize that today? Amen. Look with me for a few minutes at hell's homecoming. Amen. Luke chapter 16 lets us know that not everybody that dies goes to heaven. I know we live in a generation in this church world even, amen, where everybody wants to try to think that when you die, you automatically go to heaven, but that's not true. It really doesn't matter if the preacher at your funeral tries to put you there or not. If you did not live right, if you did not get saved and your sins forgiven and cleansed by the blood, then my friend, there's only really one place for you to go. There's no such thing as a purgatory. Amen. But there is a place called hell. Amen. This story that I've read from is not a made up story. It's not a parable that Jesus told to try to illustrate a truth. Amen. But it was something that really happened. Amen. Jesus here pulls back the curtain of eternity and gives us our greatest revelation of what life after death will be like for the person that rejects the mercy of God. Amen. Oh, hear me today, my friend. This man, the Bible tells us, was a rich man. Amen. But oh, all of the riches that he obtained in this life did nothing to keep him from going to hell. Now, I dare say that there's not one of us here today that would mind trading places with a rich man in this world. I probably say that all of us could use a little more money in our pocket. We say we do anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. But all of us wouldn't mind trading places with the rich man here, but there's not one of us that would want to trade places with him after he died. For notice what the Bible said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Amen. I know that this modern church world, hey, would like to try to make us believe, amen, that you can come and confess Christ, amen, and believe on the Lord, and then everything's fine. You're secure eternally and never have to worry about that again. But how many knows that that's one of hell's favorite doctrines? Hallelujah. Amen. It also has a close cousin to it. Amen. And that's the doctrine that you have to sin a little bit every day. Amen. But I got news for you. There's an experience that you can obtain in Christ today that will turn your heart away from sin, and you can quit the sinning business. So hallelujah. There is an experience that can cause you to live right in this world. You say, preacher, do I have to go to hell? No, you don't have to go to hell. And there's some say, well, if God really loves us, why in the world would he send anybody to hell? The fact of the matter is, if you go to hell, amen, it will not be so much that God sent you there as that you chose to go there yourself. Amen. You're the one that will reject the mercy of God, trample over the blood of Jesus Christ, and make that decision for yourself. Hell was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his demons. Amen. But my friend, when you reject the grace of God and you live a life of sin that's influenced by hell, amen, God is not going to corrupt that beautiful place to let you in there. Amen. He has prepared a place of judgment, a place where those that find themselves lost in sin will spend eternity. And when you consider that place called hell, there's really no way in my feeble attempt in these next few minutes, amen, that I could ever describe for you how terrible a place that really is. We know it's a place of fire that's unquenchable, amen, an utter darkness, amen, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We know there's weeping and gnashing and a teeth there. Amen. Those are all things that Jesus said about this horrible place. But when you consider the place of torment that it really was, amen, Jesus said it best. And really, amen, he's the one that told us more about it than any other person in the Bible. Amen. Oh, I know he's a God of love. Amen. But I'm glad he loved us enough, amen, to warn us of what hell's really going to be like. Notice what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Help us today, Lord. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt in the life than to having 2 feet and to be cast into hell and under the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, O God. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than to having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Notice what Jesus said about hell. It's such a place of torment and such a horrible place. It'd be better for you to cut off your own hand, cut off your own foot, or pluck out your own eye than to die lost and go to hell. Whew, sweet Lamb of God. You know what I think Jesus is trying to get across to us here today? I think he's trying to get it across the point that whatever you have to do, don't go to hell. Whatever you have to do, don't go there. If you can't keep your hand from sinning, if you can't keep your feet from running after sin, if you can't keep your eye from looking at it, it'd be better to pluck it out, cut it off, than it would be to die and go to hell, my friend. Amen. Listen, I recognize that there is a natural instinct in every human being to survive. Amen. I remember reading in the Reader's Digest several years ago now about that man that went mountain climbing all alone and didn't tell anybody where he was going, and in the process of his climb that day, a boulder shifted and pinned his arm there against the mountain, and he could not free himself, and he realized that before anybody even realized he was gone, let alone try to find where he went to, and he was sure to die. And so there on the side of that mountain, with crude instruments that he had on his person, amen, he cut off his own arm and went back down the mountain and found somebody that would help him. He thought it better to leave his arm on the mountain and get off of there alive than to die up on that mountain. And I wish we had that attitude concerning the things of God, that we'd be willing to sever from us anything that would keep us from going to heaven, that might cause us to die lost and go to hell. Amen. We live in an hour where people are getting very frivolous and very carefree and not taking much thought concerning the things they get involved in and allow into their heart and life concerning eternity. Listen, my friend, every decision you make, every entertainment you involve yourself in, amen, everything that you take into your life, amen, will have an effect on you one way or another for eternity. I tell you what we need to do. We need to have the attitude that whatever I have to turn away from, whatever I have to say no to, whatever I have to walk away from, it would be better to deal with that now, amen, and find myself entering into life, amen, than to cling on to it and hang on to it and say, I don't want to live without it, and find out we died and went to hell. Oh, hallelujah. Why hang on to the frivolous, carnal things of this life? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, it's not that bad. It's just a little innocent fine. There's nothing really that wrong and that wicked about it. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. Amen. What kind of influence is it on you concerning eternity? If it's stealing from you your time in prayer, if it's taking your heart farther away from God, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's a relationship, a friendship, amen, it doesn't matter if it's a job, amen, whatever it might be, I'd rather be poor and saved, amen, than rich and lost. Come on now. Amen. This man found himself rich, but he found himself lost. Oh, that God would help us to realize that we're heading toward eternity. Every one of us is. We're all racing toward that day. And listen, my friend, amen, are we prepared to meet God? Amen. Are we making the right preparation? Amen. Or are we accumulating to ourselves, amen, things that will eventually damn our soul to hell? Oh, help us today, Lord. For hell does have a homecoming. I said hell does have a homecoming. And it would be a fearful thing, a dreadful thing, a shameful thing, amen, to be around a Pentecostal church all your life, amen, hear the truth of the gospel preached across the pulpit, amen, only to sit there, amen, and find yourself lost in eternity. Oh, that God would help us today to recognize that hell does have a homecoming. Whatever it takes, don't go to hell. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I know they might have talked bad about you. I know they might have said something that wasn't true about you. Amen. But there's no sense in hanging on to that grudge. Amen. Until it becomes bitterness and hatred. Amen. And then wind up going to hell over it. Right. Oh, come on now. Amen. Listen, oh, it's like one man that, where they had church trouble. And there ain't nothing that I didn't plan on saying this, but amen, I ain't nothing I hate worse than church trouble. Amen. It's like that one man that had church trouble and left one church and went to another. Amen. Got to talking to me about it. I stopped him. I said, listen, brother, I'm just going to tell you straight up right now. Amen. You may not be able to love them enough to go to church with them, but you better love them enough to go to heaven with them. Come on now. I said, you better love them enough to go to heaven with them. If there's somebody that you meet, amen, in a fellowship meeting like this, or walking down the street or going to Walmart, and you just soon turn around and walk away, then you would just shake their hand and tell them, God bless you. Amen. Listen, my friend, if I was you, I'd be careful with that. Amen. I said, I'd be careful with that. Amen. There's something eating away at you. Amen. That's going to bring about your destruction after a while. I'd pray through every hurt. I'd pray through every grudge. Oh, come on now. Amen. I'd rather sever that now. You say, you may feel justified in the fact that how they hurt you. Amen. But I love what Brother Russell McDonald said. There's nothing or nobody worth going to hell over. I said, there's nothing or nobody worth going to hell over. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, have you ever been hurt? Have you ever been talked about? Have you ever been lied on? Have they ever tried to assassinate your character? Amen. Well, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Welcome to the ministry. Hallelujah. But I got news for you. Listen. Amen. There's not one person in this world. I said, there's not one person in this world that I can think of right now that I wouldn't be willing to get out and pray for them if they call me right now. Why? Amen. I choose not to hang on to those things. I said, I choose not to hang on to those feelings and those hurts and recognize the fact. Amen. When I stand before God, it's not going to be them that stands in judgment for me. It's going to be me, myself. Amen. I'm going to be the one that stands before God. And when I stand before Him, I say, when I stand before Him, amen, I'm not going to have any excuses. Well, they didn't treat me right, and they talked about me, and this happened, and that happened. Amen. Oh, I grew up in that kind of home. Amen. I went to that kind of home. Oh, come on now. Amen. The fact of the matter is, amen, it's your soul. I said, it's your soul. The psalmist said, my soul is continually in my hands, and I choose not to go to hell. Oh, hallelujah. I can't stay there. Amen. Because I'm preaching today on eternity's homecoming. And in the text that I read to you, amen, from Luke chapter 16, the Bible said there was a certain rich man, yes. And the Bible said, and the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. But also it tells us about this beggar named Lazarus. Now listen to me. There's not one of us here today that want to trade places with Lazarus in this world. There's not one of us that want to live like Lazarus lived. Amen. Begging for crumbs. Oh, hallelujah. Laying there by that gate full of sores, the dogs licking your sores. There's not one of us that would want to live like that. But even though Lazarus was a beggar, it's obvious he was also a believer. Hallelujah. Amen. I see and I know most of the times, amen, we preach about hell from Luke 16, amen, and verse 19. Hallelujah. Amen. But I see not only that hell has a homecoming, but I also know that heaven has a homecoming as well. For the Bible tells us, and there was a certain beggar, amen, and then it goes on to say that it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died. Oh, hallelujah. When the rich man died, all it said was he was buried. But when Lazarus died, hallelujah, amen, what does it say concerning him? Amen. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'm sure they took him out somewhere and buried him in the ground. Amen. But Jesus, let us know, amen, that precious in the sight is the Lord. Amen. The death of his saints. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And even though nobody maybe knew his name here, it's obvious Jesus knew it. Amen. For he identified him as Lazarus the beggar. Amen. But even though the rich man had no time for him and nobody in this life cared for his soul, amen, it's obvious when he died, there was somebody that was looking out for him. I said there was somebody that was looking out for him. And I come to tell us right now, amen, we may not be popular in this world. Amen. You may not be well favored and well and stand in high standing in society right now. But listen to me, saints of God. Amen. If you're washed in the blood, amen, a child of God, amen, he knows your name. Hallelujah. And he knows where you have. And he's watching over you. Hallelujah. And you may die without much fanfare here. Amen. But I got news for you. Amen. Heaven will take notice. I said heaven, amen, will take notice. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me tonight, saints of God. How I want you to know that death, amen, was once our enemy. Amen. It was once the enemy of our soul. Amen. It hounded us and chased us every day of our life. Amen. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amen, now death is no longer our enemy, but now he's only the doorkeeper that opens up and lets us step into eternity. Hallelujah. And if you're here today, a child of God, you don't have to fear dying. You don't have to fear death. Oh, hallelujah. I recognize that. I believe it's called Eli the Son. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Amen. We're not interested. Amen. Just killing over right now. Amen. I got a wife and two precious little babies. Amen. Like to live for. Amen. But if death come knocking, I'm not going to run from it. Hallelujah. I said I'm not going to run from it. I don't have anything to fear because I've been to the altar. I said I've already been to the altar. I've made investments. Amen. In heaven today. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm not fearful of eternity. I said I'm not fearful of eternity. If you're here today and you're afraid of dying, amen, you might need to take another trip to the altar. Amen. But oh, listen, my friend, thank God for heaven's homecoming. I said thank God for heaven's homecoming. We do have hope. Amen. I said we do have hope today of a resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it amazing what kind of feeling comes over you when somebody gets to singing about heaven or preaching about heaven? Amen. You know why that's so? Amen. I know why it is in my own heart. Amen. Because I've tried to invest a lot there. Now listen, they can talk about the Dow Jones, Wall Street, and if the bulls are running or if the bears are biting, it doesn't matter. Come on now. Because I don't have a lot invested in Dow Jones. Oh, come on now. Amen. But I have been around a few that did invest a lot there. And their whole emotional state was determined by what the market was doing. Amen. Because they had a lot invested there. Amen. But oh, listen, whenever we get talking about heaven and preaching about heaven and singing about heaven, there's something in my heart that comes alive. Amen. Because the last several years, amen, I've been trying to do all I can to invest over there. Amen. I've got a lot of investments over there. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, and listen, my friend, the thought of heaven ought to make us happy today. I said the thought of heaven ought to make us happy. Amen. Because we recognize that we do have a resurrection that's coming. Amen. When we consider the resurrection of the saints, we've got to stop a moment and step back. Amen. To that first resurrection. Amen. Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And there in the garden. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. As he laid in the ground. Amen. On that first resurrection morning. Amen. When the stone rolled away and Jesus got up. Amen. It changed everything for you and I. Hallelujah. Amen. His resurrection was a confirming resurrection, for it validated his every claim. Amen. Oh, I said it validated his every claim. One of the greatest proofs of Christ's deity was the fact that he resurrected. Amen. He did not stay in the grave. Oh, hallelujah. There have been other great teachers, and there have been other men that have led mighty movements. Amen. That proclaimed themselves to be deity. Amen. But you go somewhere around this country, around this world. Amen. You'll find their tomb and you'll find their remains somewhere. prayer. Amen. But Jesus himself, amen. I said Jesus himself, though he was the Son of God, amen. If you go to Jerusalem and if you happen to find a place where they claim that he laid, amen, you'll not find his remains today. I said you'll not find him there. Why? On that first resurrection morning, on the third day after, amen, the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. When the sun broke through and the earth shook, praise God, and the stone rolled back, amen, Jesus got up. Hallelujah. I said Jesus got up. Amen. Why was the stone rolled away? It wasn't rolled away to let him out of the tomb. It was rolled away so we could get in the tomb and see where he laid at. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend, he got up. And because of his confirming resurrection, we also recognize that it was a conquering resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Death no longer is our enemy, but now it's the door that leads to eternity. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of his resurrection, amen, he got up with the keys in his hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Amen. But listen to me today. Amen. His was a confirming resurrection, and it was a conquering resurrection. But because of his resurrection, amen, we also have hope of a coming resurrection. Hallelujah. I said we have hope of a coming resurrection. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, and he began to deal with them concerning the resurrection of the saints. Amen. He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. In verse 42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, amen, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it'll be raised in power. Amen. There was a group there at Corinth that was trying to deny the resurrection. Amen. But oh, listen. Amen. Earlier in that same passage of scripture, amen, Paul said, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also vain. Verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm glad he got up. I said, I'm glad he resurrected. Amen. But I'm glad he resurrected because he was the first fruits of the resurrection. But now we have hope. I said, now you and I have hope of a coming resurrection. December the 2nd, 2008, we marched out to Butler County Memorial Grounds. There on the hillside, they had a little hole dug. And in that grave, amen, we placed my wife's mother. Oh, God. Cancer had ravaged her body, and I don't even think she weighed 100 pounds. Amen. Just weak, frail, little pile of bones. Amen. We laid her in the ground and said our goodbyes. Amen. But that little precious white-haired lady, oh, hallelujah. Amen. One of the things she told me after she got sick, she said, one great regret that I have is all those times when I could have went to church and didn't go. Oh, come on now. Amen. Those times when she let arthritis beat her out of getting to the house of God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But oh, she had an experience with God. Simple childlike faith. The first time she got cancer, amen, her hair, she prayed and believed that her hair would not fall out in spite of the chemo. Amen. After a few days had passed since the time that it should have fell out and hadn't, she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, listen, amen, she wasn't getting sick. Her blood counts weren't falling. Amen. There was no sign. Every symptom, amen, of the chemotherapy being in her body was not there. Amen. God working miraculously for her. And that doctor said, listen, if your hair don't fall out, amen, I'm going to have to up your chemo because it doesn't look like it's working. Amen. That doctor looked at her. My mother-in-law looked at my wife and said, well, amen, let it fall out. And the next day it fell out. Ooh, come on now. She never got sick. Her blood counts never dropped. The only sign the chemo was working was her hair fell out. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you, God worked for her. Amen. But finally, eight years later, amen, came back. This time it took her life. Amen. We sown her in weakness. You couldn't have got any weaker than she was. Amen. We sowed her body to the ground in weakness. Amen. But when we left there, amen, I looked at my sweetheart and said, what we sown in weakness, one day, I said, one day it's going to be raised in power. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, for you see, my friend, amen, Paul went on to tell the Corinthians, and it's not near the mystery to us than it was to them. Amen. But in verse 51, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. But we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same. Amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to wear you out today. Amen. But hallelujah. I'm going to be the one that has to preach again a little later. Hallelujah. Amen. But I was in revival. Amen. In Allentown Holiness Church, there we have the March meeting. Amen. In October, we went 3 weeks all up close to Thanksgiving. And Brother Kenneth Fowler was in that church, a concrete truck driver. He really took a liking to me and my family. And Brother Kenneth, he wanted to do something special for our ministry. His wife is not a backslider. His two children backslid. He sat right there every service, altar worker, on fire for God. He wanted to do something special for our ministry. So he got this idea. He asked me a few questions about my ministry and how long I've been preaching, and wrote out a little letter, put several sheets of paper underneath it, and put it on a clipboard. And everywhere he stopped on his route as a concrete truck driver, whether it was going into a gas station to get a drink or whatever, amen, he took that clipboard with him, made people read that letter, and said, would you donate to this man's ministry? After almost 2 weeks of doing that, I forget now how much it was, $300-$400 he brought in to put into the offering. Amen. He let me see the paper. Some gave a nickel. Some gave a quarter. I think the biggest donation he got was $20. But the Lord put it on his heart to help me. You just don't forget folks like that. You understand what I mean? I remember. I still got it. I believe I got it right here. When that revival was over, old Brother Kenneth walked up to me, and he handed me a little tithing envelope. Oh, hallelujah. And on that tithing envelope, right there it is. Amen. He wrote on there his address, his phone number, his cell number, his work number. Amen. His wife's name, his wife's name, Steve and Kristen's two children, and said, please pray for me and my family. We love you all very much. Amen. I put that in my Bible. It's never left my Bible right here since that day. That was November. March, January come around. One night, our youth pastor there, Brother Joseph Snow, had a dream that one of his young people met a tragic end. And he got up that Sunday morning and told those young people in that whole church that he felt like God warned him there's about to be a tragedy and somebody need to pray. Well, when he said that, Brother Kenneth jumped up from his pew, ran down the aisle back to where his two backslid children, teenage children, were sitting, and looked at his boy and looked at his girl and said, the Holy Ghost just told me it's going to be one of you. How'd you like to carry that news? Neither one of them prayed that morning. That night the pastor came back with a message on hell and judgment. Conviction fell on old Stephen. 17-year-old, strong, healthy boy. Old Stephen got up, came down to the altar, and got saved. I mean, really, got saved. Made a little sign and hung it on his door when he was praying. Said, it's praying time, leave me alone. His dad said, you would be amazed the times I'd walk by in one day, and that sign would be out, and you could hear old Stephen inside praying. got so saved that even his friends that he'd hung out with at work and at school recognized the difference in him. Amen. And realized that he was a different boy. Amen. That was January. I saw him at the March meeting. He walked up on the platform, shook my hand, told me what God had done for him. I was so thrilled. The very next week, I left the March meeting and went to Millbury, Alabama to hold a revival for Larry Darty. I don't know if any of y'all have been to Millbury. Very few people ever have. Hallelujah. Amen. I was out there in Brother Larry's church. Amen. I told him, you go out to nowhere, you turn left. His church is a quarter mile on the right. Amen. Cell phone signal quit miles before you ever got to his church. Amen. One day on Monday, right after the March meeting, I was sitting in my motorhome and my phone rang. That was a miracle in itself. I looked at it. It's Brother Eugene Futrell. I answered. I said, hey, man, what's going on? He said, hey, brother, Kenneth wouldn't rest until he knew that you were praying for him. His boy and his 16-year-old cousin was out on Big Creek Lake this morning, had a boating accident, and we're looking for them right now. We can't find them. 36 hours later, they pulled the bodies of those two boys off the bottom of that lake. The next Sunday was Easter Sunday. I had a week off after that. I just planned on resting and going to a fellowship meeting. I told my wife, I said, we're only 2 hours away, hour and a half away. I said, let's go on back down there. We'll go to that funeral. I pulled in on Saturday. Brother Eugene said, I'm so glad you're here. Tomorrow afternoon's the wake. He said, tomorrow morning's Easter Sunday. It's been a horrible week, brother. You think you could preach Easter Sunday for me? I said, Brother Eugene, I'll do my best. I was nervous. I knew that Kenneth's family was going to be there. Two whole rows of sinner folks come in. Kenneth sat back there with them that day. I got to preaching about the resurrection. The Holy Ghost fell in that church house that morning. And I come down to this verse right here. Death is swallowed up in victory. About the time that came, we come across that line. The Holy Ghost fell on Kenneth Fowler, sitting back there in the back of that church. He got up, ran back to the back corner, across the back of that church, all the way down here. When he got right here, the Holy Ghost danced him all the way across the front of the church. His family's eyes wide back there wondering what in the world's going on. And I said, you want to know how a man that's about to go look at his 17-year-old son laying in a casket can be shouting happy right now? I'll tell you how. Amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. I said, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. It goes on to say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can I tell you, my friend? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I read one day about a little boy who was highly allergic to bee stings. And him and his daddy was riding down the road in the pickup truck with the windows down when a bee flew in the front window of that truck. And that boy screamed out in terror. He knew it was certain death if he got stung by that bee. That daddy reached out in an instant. Amen. Grabbed a hold of the bee. Amen. In his hand. Caught him in his hand. Amen. Instant relief come over that boy. And then that daddy let go of the bee. And that little boy looked at his dad and said, Daddy, what are you doing? He said, never mind, son. He said, he can't hurt you no more. Amen. Just look at my hand. Amen. The stinger. I took the stinger out of him. Oh, can I tell you, my friend? Amen. You want to know how we can stare at death? Amen. And still have a heart of joy and still be able to rejoice in the fact, amen, of a resurrection. I'll tell you why. Amen. Look at his hands. I said, look at his hands and look at his feet. Amen. He done took the sting out of death. Come on now. I said, he done took the sting out of death, and we have hope of a resurrection. I said, we have hope of a resurrection. Oh, you may have been to the graveyard. You may have laid your loved one down. Amen. But that's not the end of the story. If they died in Jesus, I said, if they died in Jesus, that's not the end of the story. One more illustration, I'm closing. I know the hour grows late. March the 4th, 1988. It was a Friday. I walked home from school. Our mom come picked us up from school that day. I was 10. My sister was 7. My dad, I'd never known him to be sick. always healthy. Hey, man, nothing wrong. He come home from work that day from the steel mill, and we thought he had the flu. You know all about this. Oh, God. I remember Mom was getting ready to leave, go to the grocery store to get some things for Dad, some chicken noodle soup, saving up stuff like that, because we just thought he had the flu. For some reason, I went downstairs. I still remember what I was doing. It's amazing the things that God does. At the very moment I heard the scream, I still remember I was looking at a Bible I never knew my dad had. And I just happened to find some of his preaching notes. I didn't even know he'd ever preached. And I heard my mom scream. I bolted up from the basement as quick as I could. And I still remember my daddy getting back on that couch. I didn't know what was going on. Mom was screaming, he's having a heart attack. She couldn't remember the number to the paramedics. We didn't have 911 at the time. And she called her neighbor, who called the ambulance. And I just did the only thing that I knew to do. I walked over to where my dad, I still remember the cold sweat that was on his brow. When I laid my hand on his head, I began to plead the blood of Jesus over my dad and say, oh, God, heal him. I checked out for a little while then. I don't remember this, but somebody told me that when the paramedics got there, I was on the sidewalk, pounding the sidewalk. Oh, God, please don't take my daddy. I remember the paramedics come. My mom had called my Uncle Larry. He was getting ready to leave to go to work. He come hurrying as fast as he could there. He got there not long before the paramedics left. My mom got in the car with my Uncle Larry. They went to the hospital with my dad. My mom left me and my sister with our neighbor, Mrs. Landman. I remember it felt like they were gone forever. Just sitting there knowing something bad was wrong. Just had such an uneasiness. I still remember it, even though it's been 22 years ago now. I was just a 10-year-old boy. I remember when I saw my uncle's car pull around the corner. Several cars behind him. I remember a lot of our family was from the Granite City was already there. I remember my mom getting out of the car and me and my sister busting out of my neighbor's house, running to her. I still remember Mom taking us in her arms and telling us that Daddy was never coming back home. I remember... You know the wonderful thing about a church family? Before the sun went down, you couldn't put another bag of groceries in our kitchen. Just the outpouring of love from our church and our friends. I remember every time a family member from out of town would come in, the fresh tears, the fresh weeping and crying that there was. And somewhere along that night, I don't know what possessed me to do it. My dad, for my 9th birthday, bought me a real Bible. Had the gold edging, pages that laid flat. He said, I don't ever remember a day in my life when I didn't want to be a preacher. From my earliest memories, I always wanted to be a preacher. My grandpa had been a Church of God preacher. My great-grandpa had a Church of God preacher. And I guess it's just in me. I don't know. I'd already taken that Bible and began to mark in it like I'd seen in my grandpa's Bible. I picked up my Bible. And you don't have to believe me if you don't want to. I started reading my Bible when I was 8 years old, almost on a daily basis. And I picked up that Bible, I guess, just looking for an answer or something. I don't know. My Bible fell open to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I began to read. In verse 13 it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Oh, come on now. I know we cry, but we don't cry like those that have no hope. Oh, come on now. I know we weep. Amen. But we do have a promise. of a bright future. Hallelujah. Oh, come on now. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I was 10 years old, but I didn't need a Greek scholar to explain that to me. I done figured that out. Amen. Oh, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I said, for the Lord himself, he's not going to delegate that to an angel. He's not going to send back a prophet. Amen. He has reserved that right to himself. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Amen. I don't want to cross anybody's theology, but I hear three distinct sounds right there. Amen. I hear a trio. Amen. And the trump and the shout and the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. And when that trio gets together, brother, amen, gravity's going to lose its hold and graves are going to open up. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, but listen. Amen. They're not going to get very far ahead of us. Oh, hallelujah. I said, they're not going to get very far ahead of us. Then we which are alive and remain. Oh, hallelujah. Until shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Hallelujah. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You talking about a homecoming. I said, you talking about a homecoming. Amen. I was glad to see Sister Geraldine. I was glad to see the brother and Sister Emery. Been a long time since we had fellowship. Amen. I'm glad to see all you good folks here at Jonesboro. Amen. But I got news for you. There's a homecoming. Amen. That hasn't happened yet. Oh, hallelujah. But verse number 18 is the one that got me. I said verse number 18 is the one that got me. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, my friend. Amen. That's our hope. That's our comfort. Amen. That's the rock we can lean on today. Oh, hallelujah. Even when you go to the graveyard and you lay that loved one down. Amen. That's not the end of the story. I said that's not the end of the story. For heaven does have a homecoming. I said heaven does have a homecoming. Head of a whole side out of the Adam. Give a whole to head of the Adam. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And just in case there's somebody here, I said, just in case, I know there's some here. And God love your heart. That just made me a little, almost too fresh for you. I hope it's not. I'm not here to cause you to cry. I'm here to offer hope today. Hallelujah. And remind you that we do have a homecoming. Amen. But if there should be somebody here today, and you say, preacher, I don't know if I have that hope. I remember being at a meeting where Brother Savage was preaching that, and his boy Randy that was shot and killed. Amen. Out of the ark of safety. 3 minutes. They know he lived for at least 3 minutes after he was shot. And I still hear that scream of that homeless preacher as he screamed out, Randy, where are you, son? Oh, hallelujah. If you're here today and you've buried loved ones and you say, preacher, I don't know if they made it or not. And I don't know how heaven could be heaven without my family there. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time dealing with that. I got a little comfort for you. Amen. I said, I got as much comfort as I know to give you. And that is, he will wipe from our tears all of our, or wipe from our eyes all of our tears. I said, he shall wipe away our tears. And listen, I don't know how he's going to do it. I said, I don't know how he's going to do it. But Brother Henry, amen, when he takes, if it's a cloth, if it's a handkerchief, whatever it is, and Jesus stands before us and wipes that tear from our cheek, I can't help but feel with that swipe of that cloth, he will take from it the pain of that memory. Oh, come on now. I said, he will take from us the pain of that memory, and heaven will be heaven for all who make it. Come on now. I said, heaven will be heaven for all who make it. Listen to me today, saints of God. I know that hell has a homecoming, but I'm so glad heaven does too. I said, I'm glad to know today, amen, that we are not, amen, we're not here in vain. Stand all over the house today. I'm done. Father, in Jesus' name. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of the church. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of the church. It's not always going to be like it is right now. I said, it's not always going to be like it is right now. Thank you, Lord. We have that hope. Thank you. We have that assurance. Whew! Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If I could get somebody on the piano, please, who can play in the key of G again. Oh, hallelujah. Sister Kara, come to the bass. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody come to the drums if you feel like it. Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Oh, hallelujah. There's been a lot of days since March the 4th, 1988, when I was just 10 years old, when I had questions like, why? Why did I have to grow up without a daddy? What was the purpose in all of it? My precious mother-in-law, when she left here, we had canceled half of our meetings that year. It was such a, in every way, personally, my wife, watching her care for a sick mother, just a strenuous, painful trial. I remember we headed out January 1st. Fairland was our first revival with Brother Shoecraft, and it was still difficult for my wife, still grieving. After a while, one day, she was hurting so, and she was just talking, I was listening. And I remember right before church, she asked me, said, why did we have to go through all that? Why did we have to go through all that? And I got to preaching about circumstances like that one night, preaching like I am right now. And I watched that night as the altar filled up, people just weeping and crying, the Holy Ghost moving and helping and touching people's lives. And I walked over to my sweetheart who was there praying for people, felt the Holy Ghost move on me. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost will have to move on you to speak to your own wife. And I did. I went over to him, put my arm around him. I said, sweetheart, you wonder why we went through what all we've been through? I said, it's not the whole reason. We'll find out the rest of it when we get to heaven. I said, but you look across this altar. Here's part of the reason. And I don't know why you went through what you went through. But I do know this. He keeps good records. And he will take care of his children. You just wait and see. Could I be the preacher that I am if I hadn't went through some of the difficulties? If I am a preacher, sometimes I don't even know if I am a preacher. Some of you are probably wondering that right now. I don't know why we go through what we go through, but I know this, there is a God in heaven. And my pastor, Brother Randy, who's had as much trial as any man I know, I've heard him say it countless times, heaven is going to fix it all. I feel like singing. I hope you're not too tired to sing with me. All right? I know. We about give out. I understand. Well, I am on my journey to that city four square. And by faith in the love of God, I certainly will enter there. Well, on some bright tomorrow, with the saints I stand. I'm going to put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood-washed throne while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven, on that beautiful strand, I'm going to put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood-washed throne while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'm going to put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Well, there will be no dying, no more trouble or strife. And we will live to the ages by the beautiful tree of life. Oh, when I join the chorus, heaven's happy band, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throng while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven, oh, on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throng while the ages roll away. Oh, when I get to heaven, on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throng while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven, on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promise. I tell you, I appreciate the goodness of the Lord today. And I appreciate these that are stepping out. Is there anybody else that feels like you could use a little heaven to go to heaven in today? I said, is there anybody that feels like you could use a little grace, amen, for the journey? Oh, hallelujah, right here today. Amen. Listen, my friend, it's not always going to be like it is right now. I said, it's not always going to be like it is right now. Hallelujah. There's going to come a day, amen, when nursing homes and hospitals and funeral homes and graveyards are just a distant memory. There's going to come a day, my friend, when pain and suffering and tears and troubles and trials and burdens will be no more. We're going home. Home after a while. Hallelujah. I said, we're going home after a while. Amen. Why don't we let the Holy Ghost have his way? I said, why don't we let the Holy Ghost have his way right here in our heart? If you want to get in here and help these and pray, amen, go ahead and step out and let's let the Holy Ghost touch us and move for us as only God can. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. Well, there will be no dying, no more trouble or strife, and we will live to the ages by the beautiful tree of life. Oh, when I join the chorus, heaven's happy band, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throne while the ages roll away. Oh, when I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promise. Oh, come on, everyone that will, let's come. Let's come to the altar today. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's thank God for heaven's homecoming. I said, let's thank God for heaven's homecoming. And let's thank God we're not going to hell's homecoming. Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord we have the hope and the promise of a bright tomorrow. Hallelujah. I said, we have the hope and the promise of a bright tomorrow. Come on, let's worship God. Let's let the Holy Ghost have his way. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Heaven move upon us right here today. Well, oh, glory, oh, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throne while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. Oh, glory, what a wonderful day. I'll join the song of the blood washed throne while the ages roll away. When I get to heaven on that beautiful strand, I'm gonna put on a crown and walk around all over God's promise. Say what you feel. I'm done.